This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just put up the Junkies poll of the day, brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can only 100 calories with zero carbonation for easy sipping. You can find Surfside at your local bars and a convenient variety, 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. We love Surfside. And it's what Jason brought up right at the top. Did Derek Queen travel in the game winner? Clearly they didn't call it. Got nothing to lose by voting, so vote at Junks Radio. Right now, it's been up for a minute. It's 50-50.
It's actually moved
to 55% yes.
You want to hear Gene and all the guys talking about it afterwards?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You're to blame because you said, man, I've gotten 13 texts from people saying, how about that travel?
I was so mad. I'm like, what travel y'all talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why we have Gene here. So, Gene, tell me, take us through this play.
It's a great play. It's a great ending, yeah. Right? Look, by rule, the dribble doesn't end until there's firm possession with one hand locked or more times than not with two hands. So we've got to look to see when the dribble ends. Derek Queen makes the turn around the loop. At that point, when he brings it back up, we don't know if that's fully possessed. If he bobbles that at that point, he could continue to bobble that basketball all the way to the hoop without a travel. So you've got to wait until you can define firm possession. Mm-hmm. Now the dribble has ended. As I said, most times and not, it's when both hands come together. You can see when Derek Queen has both hands together, one foot hits, next foot, great shot, great ending. To me, it just really doesn't jump off the screen as anything big. I've got to be honest with you.
I don't know that it jumped off the screen in any of us.
No, exactly. But,
and it wasn't just the text Chuck was getting. It was just looking at the internet was like, how about the travel? Well,
how many people text you? 13? You got 13 dumb friends.
I did too.
Hey, you know, that's great.
I think for the non-travel crowd, pretty vindicating.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, I mean, there's a little controversy, but I don't even know what
more it does travel. I don't really care whether you traveled or not.
First of all, it didn't get called,
and the Terps are on their way to the Sweet 16.
They are.
All that matters.
You can vote at Junks Radio. Not a ton of surprises over the weekend, although St. John's losing a bit of a surprise as they are a 2 seed.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little controversy in that game because he benched his best player who was having an awful shooting game.
Yeah, I mean, he was 3-for-17. I thought he was going to bring him back, especially when St. John's was starting to try to make a little bit of a run, but he decided not to. That's Patino. That's his style. And it's kind of strange because you, especially before the game and the pregame, they were talking to all these players about their relationship with Patino and how it's kind of like father-son and he's a leader. And then when you bench your best player in a key moment, that says a lot.
Well, at least he had time to fly out and watch his son take an L to Izzo. He got to do that, too.
He did.
Jeez, that was kind of cool.
Cakes is on one today. What do you got to get Patino Jr.?
Nothing.
Don't you think that was being a good dad?
He's being a great dad.
He was comforting his granddaughter there at the end of the game. It was boo-hooing.
He's just pointing out teams that lost.
He took an L.
Yeah, that's what he's pointing out.
Yeah, but it was the glee that you had.
So much glee. Mm-hmm. Why do you have anti-Patino?
I don't really have any anti-Patino.
You're looking for just a cheap shot?
I just thought it was kind of funny.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what he's doing on a Monday morning. He's just taking cheap shots to everybody. That's what he's doing.
You let off the show talking about Derek Queen's travel when everybody's celebrating.
Yeah, Mr. Pessimist.
Hey, taking cheap shots.
I'm just being realistic.
Hey, we're all high-fiving in here. You're a turd in the punch bowl.
Nobody that's listening cares about Rick Pitino for the most part. People care about the Terps and Derek Queen. And you just came flying off the top rope with an elbow.
Well, because
one second into the show.
I knew it was going to come up, and it clearly was a controversial play. A non-call, which is fine.
Right.
But
controversial to non-ball knowers, right, Cakes?
I guess so.
Well, anybody who thinks he didn't travel, you don't know basketball.
Well, Gene Steratore doesn't know basketball.
He's Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley greater than Jason Bishop.
Barkley has been traveling. He traveled for his entire NBA career. So, of course, he's going to say he didn't travel.
I didn't know you're such a proponent of not traveling.
Look, when you take three steps, that's a travel. I'm sorry.
The rules analyst greater than Jason.
Oh, that rules analyst is a moron.
I'm sure Gene Steratore
is a
moron.
He's a moron if he's saying that.
His explanation didn't make any sense.
It didn't make any sense. You can't tell if he didn't have
Text
he didn't have possession of the ball. Really? He didn't have possession of the ball? Of course he did.
Text F. Davis, he's a moron right now because he agrees with us.
Well, he's stupid on this particular
play. Isn't Gene Steratore a football referee? Since when do they put him on the basketball call?
But anyway, so the Arkansas-St. John's game was very
I like Steve Lapis a lot. I think he does a great job. I thought he was really unfair to Pitino at the end of the game, though, because he was making such a big deal out of it.
About Luis,
About Luis. He was saying, you got to put him in the game. The kid was awful.
He was terrible.
He was terrible.
Well, he was doing some other things. He just wasn't scoring.
I understand you can question it, but he just kept hammering it and saying, you got to put him in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't helping.
3-for-17 is tough to put a guy in the game. I understand, you know, you can turn it around and shoot or shoot, but it reminds me of that game that John Starks had years and years ago against the Bulls, right? Where he finished the game 3-for-18.
Yeah.
You can shoot yourself out of a game.
I know, but none of the St. John's players were hitting shots.
Right.
They couldn't hit a shot.
They shot
28% for the game, and he played all the other guys. The other kid, Aaron Scott, was 1-for-10. He was playing him. I think you got to play your best player.
I think if the kid got you there, maybe you sit him for a while, but then you do give him a shot at the end.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of crazy. He played 30 minutes. Look, the other kid, Aaron Scott, played 32 minutes. He was 1-for-10. I mean, you got to play your best players.
He was asked about it after the game, and his answer was he played 30 minutes. Now, I saw some people interpreted that he was protecting his player because there were some people that thought that Luis was just trying to get his and wasn't playing within the team game, which, you know, maybe happens. Shouldn't happen in the NCAA tournament.
I thought Evan Washburn, who we're going to have on the show later, but I thought it was very interesting because Evan Washburn does the on-court reporting and interviews with the coaches during timeouts. And when he did his Pitino interview, I don't know if he's required to ask two questions because I guess it kind of depends on how long the answers are. But Pitino answered the first question and then walked away from Washburn. And then Washburn said, oh, I got another question.
Yeah.
And he asked him another question, and then Pitino answered that one and then walked away. Usually they wait until you say, all right, thanks, coach.
Right.
But Pitino is a different kind of dude.
Especially to the old school coaches, those interviews during the game
super annoying.
Are such a hindrance. Yeah. You think he wants to do that? None of them want to do
they
it.
Wouldn't. Of course they don't want to do it.
Some people,
but
say,
a lot of them are, like, they're polite.
Right.
And they'll answer the question. And some of them will even joke with the – now, look, if it's Evan Washburn, it's a little different than if it's a little hot sideline reporter or courtside reporter. But
hey, Evan Washburn's kind of hot.
It was pretty funny.
He's a dreamy guy.
Some people joked that Calipari was trolling Pitino with his suit choice, that it was the same as the tablecloth at the restaurant where Pitino bangs
pretty good.
In 30 seconds.
It's pretty solid.
I like it.
I don't know. I can't root for Coach Cal. I know Cakes took Glee and Pitino taking it out. Calipari, to me, I just cannot root for him.
But hey, the same. To me, they're kind of the same.
Unless he's coaching your team, they're not the easiest guys to root for.
I kind of like Pitino more. I don't know why.
I don't know. They're both the same.
I don't really care about either one of them.
Yeah. I think Pitino's better.
Oh, he's a better coach, of course. Yeah. X's and O's wise,
Calipari's
I would agree with that.
Pretty good, though. I mean...
Yeah,
he took
Arkansas in a year.
He's a great coach. He's got NBA talent, though. I mean, he's got a ton of NBA players.
They always use that against him, but
yeah, I mean, Boogie Flan is an NBA talent. Carter Knox is an NBA talent. That kid, Wagner, I don't know if he'll go to the NBA, but he's got NBA genetics.
But definitely Dan Hurley, I think, is universally hated except for people in Connecticut. Yeah. And his classy move as he's leaving the court when he says, I hope they don't F you like they F'd us.
Yeah.
Just a jackass.
It's weird. Yeah.
Well, Duke didn't need the help from the refs to bend Baylor over. Like they were going to smack them no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're legit. I mean, a lot of people think that Florida was the team to beat in the NCAA tournament before the bracket started. But now,
after, you had to do a re-ranking.
After the way Florida played against UConn. And look, and I'm not going to hammer Florida for struggling to win to beat the two-time defending champs. I'm sorry, I'm just not. But Duke looked really, really good.
Yeah.
They're the tallest team in the field, too.
I mean, they got size everywhere. And then when Proctor's hitting shots like that, Flagg is just legit all the way around. Really good defensive player, efficient, can shoot it, smart, good passer.
So I know that
he leads the team in assists.
He's a really good
player.
What
did the SEC get? Like 14 teams or whatever the hell they got?
I got half of them into the Sweet 16.
Yeah, so they're obviously doing great. But the Big Ten's not doing bad.
No, got four.
Not bad at all.
They got four in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all, you got one double-digit seed, and that's Arkansas from a Power 5. And then all the other teams are all from Power 5. It was SEC, it was Big Ten, it was Big 12, one ACC.
I heard some make the argument, maybe we can play the clip from Derek Queen, that the NIL, the portal, the money involved now is going to ice out mid-major programs from making it to the Sweet 16. All four one seeds advance. Can we play that Derek Queen clip?
I have a counter to that argument, though.
He talks about Kevin Willard giving him the money.
Willard's someone who basketball players listen to, and what has he meant to you guys in the short time he's been with you?
First, he do pay us the money. And then so we got to listen to him, and we all trust him because he's like a player coach. and then he want nothing but the best for us, and he just he coaches hard. He talked to us other than basketball. He's just always there and just want us to win.
Look, you just have to accept that you're watching professional basketball now.
Mm-hmm.
This is professional basketball.
Right, but the mid-major program. Okay, George Mason goes on a run, makes it to the Final Four. It is less likely that you're going to have that type of situation. Not that it's even likely at all, because that was a senior-laden team.
Right.
Yeah.
And your seniors from mid-major programs are going to bounce to bigger programs to contribute, much like the guys who were part of the Crab Five.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Celton Miguel's in his fifth season.
But still, you're more likely to have more experienced teams with your mid-major guys, I think.
Yes.
So I think that they'll still have a shot.
It's just going to be a lot harder.
But that particular example with George Mason back in the day, I mean, Tony Skin would have left probably after 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And gone to a bigger program.
It's a new reality. Just got to adapt to it.
No, you're right.
The rich schools, the blue bloods, are going to be able to pay the best players. This might just be a paradigm shift.
Right, and you talked about Miguel, part of Maryland's team, hitting some big shots, particularly in the second half.
Oh, he was dropping bombs, too.
I mean, he played at K-State. He played at USF. Now he's at Maryland.
Yeah, these guys are mercenaries now.
Right.
They're going to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them.
And that's why I think the SEC, that had all the football money, they have so many teams being successful because they got the biggest budgets. They can pay them. They can pay these guys.
Who was it?
It kind of evens out a little bit now that they're going to do the revenue share because the money that the schools can spend, the majority of it's going to go to football. But the teams that don't have football, they're going to be able to spend more than they did before.
You know, I know,
a la GW.
I know Larrañaga talked about this, that after he got, to the Final Eight, whatever the hell that was, and he was in the locker room and they were already like with their agents and in the portal and stuff. A buddy of mine's kid plays for one of these big teams, and after they lost their last regular season game, they were all in the portal by the locker room. They're all in there, like getting in or talking. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, they're free agents.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Well, I'm pretty I'm pretty sure the portal opens Monday.
Yes.
Today. Right. Today.
Especially if your coach is leaving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the Xavier kids.
All the Iona kids. Literally, the entire team is in the portal.
All the VCU kids.
Yeah.
Well, I saw Coach Cal actually asked about it. So Arkansas advances to the Sweet 16, which wasn't expected. And you would think he would just be worrying about the next opponent. He's like, can't even enjoy this because I got, you know, to worry about the portal now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a different world.
I still think it's a wait and see. Obviously, this year, not great. I mean, seeds 1-4 won by an average, I think, of 23 points. But NIL existed last year. And you had, like, Oakland knocking off, I think, Kentucky in the first round. You had a Princeton in the Sweet 16, I'm pretty sure. Like, teams made.
Well, Yale beat Auburn.
Yeah, I mean,
On the whole, you're going to have more experienced teams in your mid-majors. That you're going to have transfers in like, 1 year's, one-and-dones or whatever in the big programs. But more than likely, they're going to be younger on the whole, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think on the whole. I think you're not going to find maybe not. I don't think you're going to find that many Juju Reese's who stick around for, like, 6 years.
Yeah, that's going to be a rarity.
That's, like, really rare. I don't know.
Yeah, this could be just one of those, you know, crazy years where all the top seeds go. But it's going to be interesting to see how, especially college basketball, handles the revenue share and how much money these teams put to their basketball as opposed to football. And then vice versa, how much of the, you know, the Big East teams that don't have football, how much money they're going to put towards the basketball program. Because if they're going to put a lot of money, you know, if they're going to double or triple what they usually pay, you know, you're going to get a lot of good teams that are non-football revenue universities. And it's going to be interesting to see how it goes next year and the year after and the year after, and especially if they increase that money over the next couple of years. From 21 million to 25 million.
I found it interesting when Queen said it was about the money. It made me actually think of what Dwayne Simpkins said on this show, that their best player could have left.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to have a talk with him of like, look, this isn't life-changing money.
Right.
But a lot of those type of players that are playing for programs like AU or other mid-major programs are getting recruited to move to the bigger programs. So I think it just makes it tougher. Will there be Oaklands in the future? Sure. But it's just going to be tougher, I think.
Still,
well, we'll see.
The three-point shot is still the great equalizer, right? If you get hot shooting and any random group of kids could get hot and give you those March upsets. I don't know. I don't think
who's
just
the Cinderella in this Sweet 16?
It's probably BYU.
Arkansas?
Yeah, Arkansas is a double-digit seed.
Yeah, but
they're from a power conference.
Right. That's my point.
I mean, BYU's from a power conference, but they're not, you know, they don't have the players that the SEC has. They don't have the number of NBA players that these SEC teams are going to have. So I would probably say BYU, even though they're a higher seed.
Jason, I'm going to need the spiral notebook. I have no idea who I picked for Survivor, but I think the four junkies are alive.
I know who I picked. They play in College Park.
Yep.
I threaded the needle. I got butt lucky.
Oh, yeah.
You had Michigan
I know
State.
Who I picked yesterday. I can't remember who I picked on Thursday.
I know. Are you guys going to screw us? Like, if we pick one that we've already picked, and you guys are just going to sit there and be quiet? Because I won't remember.
I've got it written down right here.
Like, come Thursday, whatever, I won't remember.
Well, I got it right here.
He's got it all on paper.
JP, I know I burned a one seed on day one.
JP's used a one and a two already.
I got goofed off for burning the Johnnies in round one.
Right.
I'm glad I burned
them. JP's used a one, two twos, and a three.
Ooh.
Okay, that's not bad. I still got three ones.
Yep. Yeah, you do, 100%. But we'll do that on Thursday. Four games Thursday, four
it's
games
down
Friday.
Down to four of us?
Yep, right here, sitting at this table.
Why don't we do it on Wednesday? Because I'm actually
that's fine
flying out. Let's do it on Wednesday. That would be helpful.
You're flying out to see the Terps? You're going to San Fran?
I'm going there. I'm going to San Fran.
I think exactly. You should. You should do it.
All right. Got to take a break. Phone number is 800-636-1067. If you want to chime in, remember you can vote on our Junkies poll of the day to Derek Queen Travel @ Junks Radio. Coming up next, Tiger Woods breaks some big news.